वंशीधरं कृष्णं स्मयमानमुखाम्बुजं पीताम्बरधरं नीलं माल्यचन्दन राधाचित्तचकोरेन्दु सौन्दर्य सुमहो दधिं परात् परतरम् देवं ब्रह्मानन्द कृपानिधि ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्यमहाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वाम् अनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी revered Atma Rupanand ji, who has come here for giving the retreat tomorrow and the Sunday talk too. So, yourself and all other friends, we will embark on the study of the fifth chapter by the grace of God today. We saw during the preceding chapters that how the Lord told Arjuna that by following these principles of Karma Yoga, your life will get illumined. Gradually there will be progress, the awareness will change, and according to the awareness, the life also will change. And then, when you reach this ultimate stage, then there will be no need of the actions anymore. The actions have a purpose. Every practice has an end in view. Every means is to an end. When the means reaches the end, then the means drops off. And then it doesn't, its utility is no longer there. So, Lord explained these ideas that how the action that we all perform, the work that we all do, and that work is to be converted into the means for our liberation. It has this potential. We do not know how to use this potential of work. We know many other uses or many other aspects of work. But this is what a spiritual aspirant exploits. That, yes, this work It of course may bring money in my life. It may do a lot of good in society or whatever. It has many of those aspects, of course. But this is an important aspect, rather the most important aspect, that it can, if handled carefully, if handled properly, then it can liberate me. It will do something that I want in life. I want to be free. I want to be perfect. And this can be achieved through properly handling the work. If we do not know its secret, if we do not know how to handle it, it produces exactly the opposite effect. It keeps on piling bondage on us. It is a terrible bondage, and apparently there is no escape from it. As we saw it earlier many times, that one work gives rise to several other works, and we get encircled, entrapped into these ever-expanding works. We feel that it will be finished if I do this work, this is finished. But no, it gives rise to 10 more works. It is like an exponential progress. You know? It goes on doubling or goes on increasing in multiples like that. So, twice, four times, eight times. So, the growth is very fast then, that you cannot really, soon you will find that it becomes so intricate. We don't gauge how fast that increase comes. There is that famous story of a chess player who was given a big, won a big match, and the king said that, well, what do you want? And being a very clever person, he said, I don't, after all, my needs are simple, king. I don't ask for much. I play chess, you know, and there are those 64 squares, 8 into 8, 64 squares on the chess board. So, on first square you give me one grain of rice. I just want food, that's all for me. One grain of rice on the first square, two grains of rice for the second square, four grains of rice for the third, eight for the next one, like that go on doubling till you reach the 64th square. And that is, I don't want anything else. The king said, you fool, I am ready to give you whatever you want. Ask something sizable, something tangible. What is this? This is just simple, about a pound of rice will be able to take care, I suppose, whatever you want. And he said, okay, give me, sir, that much, that is enough. What do I am not greedy. This is enough for me. And when one starts calculating, that much rice is not produced on the whole earth, even if you go on farming for thousands of years. So just to give you an idea how fast these things increase, our karmas, when not done properly, they go on increasing like that. So it becomes very difficult. We feel soon and tied into so many activities. One action we feel, let me do it, finish. No, it gives rise to two. Then each of them will give rise to further two. Imagine that same function applies. So, therefore, the trick is to learn to do it in the right way. And when you do it in the right way, then all that is taken care of. And then all these karmas, all these actions, and the bondage created by them, all is gone. and you are free. So, and then renounce all the actions. Now you don't need them. Now it is, their job is done. The action, as Shankara puts it in Viveka Chudamani very beautifully, that chittasya shuddhaye karma. The purpose of action is to purify yourself. That is done. As that purification process culminates, you see the true nature of the self, and then you know you are free. It is thus now the part that is done. Like when you reach your destination, you took the flight. Our Atma Rupananji arrived by flight a day before yesterday night. And then after he took the flight to get here, after the flight landed in Providence, he didn't say, "Oh, this nice aircraft, it brought me here, let me just sit here." What did he do? "Now the job is done. Now I don't need aircraft. I need to get out of the aircraft now. Otherwise I will be trapped there." And then there wasn't really any need to take a seat in the aircraft. Because you wanted to come here, you took the aircraft. The job is done. Now come out of it. So, similarly, this is the fourth chapter, therefore, was titled Karma Sannyasa, a renunciation of actions. First, use the actions in the right manner to get liberated, and then they drop off. Now, Arjuna caught only that point. He was anyway feeling that I don't want to get into this work of battle, and was looking for some, although Krishna was exhorting him to do the work. Come on, you have to do the work in the right spirit. But he was thinking that, if I give up the work, that is what you have been praising. So I don't see why should I be engaged in all these works. And he therefore asked Krishna that is how the fifth chapter begins, with the question of Arjuna. This question comes to us very often when we have to handle the means to the end. We forget that the end comes only after properly handling the means. But this fact is overlooked. We feel that, the end is already there, and we keep on thinking of the end all the time. And that beautiful book, I keep on remembering of that book very often, Work and Its Secret, Swami Vivekananda's beautiful lecture given in Pasadena, California. And that he says there that, look, it is a great lesson we all need to learn, to pay equal attention to the means as to the end. Through the means the end is reached. But the goal is so big, the end becomes so big in our mental horizon. It is so charming, so alluring, that we forget that we have to get there. We just dream of it, and in that state of wishful thinking, and we feel as if we are already there. That mind is it tricks us more than anybody else can trick us. So it tells thinking like that. You start planning a construction. Like we are planning a construction for the new chapel and all that. So you start planning, and the mind runs pretty fast, you see. Then even before a hole is dug, you start thinking that what paint is to be put on the building. It is far away, but the mind starts already painting the house. So it is like that. the person starts just dreaming that, hey, okay, and let me think what they, after the goal is reached, now I don't require the action. So the action, forget about it. So it is the fifth chapter begins with this kind of a question. There is apparently this question should not be asked at this stage if you see logically. In fact, Shankara in his commentary has discussed this aspect, that why is this question here? It need not be asked here because this has been adequately dealt earlier. Shankara says there that from the point of view of the spiritual aspirant, still this question makes sense. Because the psychology is involved in this. It is easy intellectually appreciate things. But when you actually want to embark or begin the practice, then the hurdles start appearing big in your mind. And then you think, should I do it? It is many feel, yes, I must take up this discipline of karma yoga, doing work in a disciplined manner, dedicated manner, but when the time to do it comes, they feel, is it necessary to do it from today? Maybe from tomorrow it will be good, you know, tomorrow is an auspicious day. And today I have anyway got up a little too late, so not from today. Then tomorrow again you find some other excuse. As they say, tomorrow never comes, you know, so we keep on putting it up tomorrow. So, and find some nice excuse, why should I not be doing it today? Today I got up late, then tomorrow when I look at it, I am feeling rather sick today, you know, it is, the weather is not good either, so not a good time to start a new endeavor. And maybe next week. So it is like that the mind keeps on creating hurdles. So therefore Arjuna's hurdle, that mind is saying, this renunciation of action, that is what I was anyway planning to do, is it not? Don't fight the war, finished. It is in our language in Hindi, there is a saying, and they make those flutes, nice flutes, from the bamboo. And if there is no bamboo, no flute either. So no need to play it either. No bamboo, no flute, no playing. So if there is no work, that fighting the war and all that, no work, then automatically then I don't have to do it in the spirit of yoga. If I am doing work, then only I will have to do this spirit, it in the spirit of yoga. If I am not doing it, that question doesn't arise. No bamboo, no flute, no work, nor no question of doing it in the spirit of yoga. And then it becomes renunciation of action because I have not taken up any action. So it is renunciation of action. So Arjuna thought that is what I want. But why this Lord then again and again telling me that you must do the work? So he asked the question, Arjuna Uvacha. Thus asks Arjuna, Sanyasam Karmanam Krishna Punar Yogam Chashamsasi Yachreya Etayurekam Tanme Bruhi Sunishchitam. Arjuna said, O Krishna, you teach renunciation of actions and again action. Tell me decisively that one of the two which is good for me. Now, Lord gives an answer that is psychologically appropriate for Arjuna. The answer is not here like an academic answer. In the exams you have questions and then you all give the answer, right or wrong. It is an objective thing, this is not according to anybody's psychology. And the answer remains same. It is, for example, what is the area of Rhode Island? Not much, we all know. It is, I was telling Atma Rupananji, we were driving to UMass and said, just Massachusetts came so quickly. Said, in our Rhode Island, you know, if you stand in Rhode Island and if you spit, the spit falls in the other state, you see. So, it is. So, it is like that, you see, that Arjuna says that what is you are asking me a question and there is an answer. It is not an objective answer that the Lord is giving, that Rhode Island has so much area. It remains same. This is, the answer is giving, being given to the question of Arjuna. A psychology is there. Arjuna has a problem in the mind that is getting expressed in the form of the question. So it is not really answered exactly to the question, but answer to the questioner. The questioner needs to be illumined. So the question is being asked using certain words, but behind the question there is the questioner. The mind of the questioner is reflected in the question. And then that needs to be answered. A proper teacher therefore takes up and looks at what is in the mind of the questioner and answers that situation. You will see the examples of this, every scripture scattered all over such things, that the question and answer logically do not seem to match each other. There is something asked and something else told, but like in the Mundaka Upanishad, and the question asked by the aspirant that what is that knowing which everything becomes known? What is that knowing which everything becomes known? And then the academic answer would be this particular thing. If you know X, everything gets known. But the teacher doesn't give that kind of answer. The teacher says the knowing is of two categories. He starts analyzing the knowing, the process of knowing itself. Learning and knowing has different categories. Because it is not an academic question. It is not a question asked just for satisfying some intellectual curiosity. There is a deep mind of the questioner that is getting reflected there. So, Sri Ramakrishna was asked this question, "Have you seen God, sir?" We know that famous incident when Swami Vivekananda, the then Narendranath, puts this question. Now, Sri Ramakrishna gives one answer there. But he was not the only one to ask this question to Sri Ramakrishna. You read some other places also this similar question, in fact exactly same question asked to Sri Ramakrishna. But there Sri Ramakrishna's answer is different. Sri Ramakrishna doesn't give the same answer there. To Narendranath he gives an emphatic yes. There was in Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, you read a scholar from Konnagar asking the same question to Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna gives an evasive answer. Oh, well, scriptures say that he cannot be seen. Then the pandit, that scholar wants Sri Ramakrishna to get into a debating mood, you know. Sri Ramakrishna used to skirt all that argumentation and debates and all that. So he just extricated himself. And, well, who knows, you know, that scriptures say that cannot be seen. So it is like that. Because there was no urge there. And Swami Vivekananda's question, have you seen God represented? All his urge to realize God, that was condensed in those words. And Sri Ramakrishna, through those words, could see that urge. And that was being answered by Sri Ramakrishna there. So Lord sees this Arjuna's problem and accordingly gives the answer. And not just, okay, you have asked me what is good for me. Okay, this is good for you too. It would have been enough. But no. Lord knows that what is going on in the mind. What is boiling there. And so to that, the answer is actually addressed. So Lord says, Sannyasa karma yogascha nishreyasakara ubhau tayostu karma sannyasat karma yogo visheshyate. Renunciation and performance of selfless action both lead to liberation, but of the two, the performance of selfless action is superior to the renunciation of action. Now, it is a psychologically important answer given to the mind of Arjuna, and all of us are at that stage, that or trying to be at that stage, where we feel that the action needs to be converted into the means. That is what we need to do. But we, since that is a difficult process, we feel, can it be bypassed? Like it is there that there was a price quote that certain things, if you buy in bulk, it said that if you buy 500, the price is $400. If you buy 1,000, then price is only marginally increased, $480 or something. So one of us suggested that let us ask only for the second 500. That instead of buying we don't want 1,000, we needed only 500. So, but the first 500 will cost $400, second 500 will cost only $80. So let us take the only the second 500. Tell him to the manufacturer, you keep just the first 500, you keep, and we let us give us only the second 500. So we want to escape some such thing, that hard work we don't want to undertake. So we want to escape that. So, okay, you told about the renunciation of action and the work going through the action and then renunciation. Let me take the second part, you know, that is easy, renunciation of action. Oh, fellow, first you have to take them up, use them, reach the culmination, then you have the right to give up that. I used to see, you know, I was in the Some those days in some, I don't exactly remember, some third or fourth grade. And my cousin, much elder than me, he used to go to college. And I used to get scolding from my parents and all that, hey, come on, study this thing. And it was so difficult. And to my eyes, I saw this college-going fellow seems to be pretty free. Doesn't need to do all this terrible homework and write. He appears to be quite free, moves about here and there. His parents never seem to be scolding him at all. What is this? I told my parents that I want to do straight away PhD and need not go to school for doing this third grade or fourth grade. Let me put me in PhD program right now. So, you cannot go to PhD program like that. So Arjuna is seeking something like that here. That why you want me to do this, engage into this activity? Tell me, you are praising both. So tell me one, but in the mind the one means this one. He is not openly telling it, but he is accusing Krishna that you are praising both like this. It is creating me confusion in my mind. If both are giving emancipation, liberation, freedom, if both can do it, then why not choose the path of least resistance, is it not? So that is all contained in Arjuna's question. And that is why now the answer of Lord Krishna becomes meaningful. That he says, yes, both of them lead to the ultimate goal, but the path of action is better than the path of giving up action. Because this questioner wants to escape, so to him it is to be told. So, for all of us, this is very important. If Atma Rupananji had said that, well, if I have to anyway get out of the plane after coming to Providence, I am already out of plane, is it not? Why should I enter it? You get out only after you reach the destination. But before that, first you have to get in, fly, and land. Then that arduous all journey, he had to, a big long journey, he started early in the morning, reached almost around midnight. So, you have to take up that, go on slogging, and then ultimately after that you reach the destination, then you come out. You may say, well, anyway, I have to come out, then why enter in the first place? Then you don't get to the destination. So, therefore, this is a very important thing that we need to understand. That we get this problem from time to time. Why take up this spiritual practice? Am I not already liberated? Just think, I am Brahman, is it not? I am Brahman. In our class, sometimes such question gets asked, you know, that what does it matter, Swami? What is the need of all this taking the name of God? It is okay, nice, but anyway, whether you take the name of God or whether you don't take the name of God, we are actually Brahman, is it not? Am I not Brahman? Now, how can I say, yes, you are not Brahman, you are Brahman? Question. Well, do you know it? If you do not know it, then you do not get free from the suffering. So, it is, therefore, you know, the knowledge is important, and for that, you have to undergo all these disciplines, spiritual practices. Then, after all that, it is all done. And then renunciation of the action. And there is, in Vedanta lore, they tell the story of a king whose son suddenly thought that there is a snake that has gone in his stomach. He has swallowed a snake and is feeling, my stomach is upset, I mean, there is snake inside. Now there was really, he had not swallowed any snake or anything, no problem, but he was terribly upset thinking that he has just swallowed a snake. Now the physicians were called and they examined and told, there is no snake at all, oh prince, you are fine, there is no snake. But prince, very powerful, how can that fellow doesn't listen? What do you mean? I feel I swallowed the snake and you dare to tell me that I didn't. Am I a fool? I am not dumb as you think me. Come on, punish these people. So, one physician had better wisdom, practical sense. He said, okay, yes, you swallowed the snake, let me examine. And then, yes, I can feel it here in that region. If I press here, it gives more pain, is it not? And now, when that introduction is made like that, pinch anywhere and some pain will be felt, you see. So, here, and you see, now I can feel it here. You can feel too. This is the head of the snake. Do you see? I got rid now the sense. Oh yes, you really have swallowed the snake, you know. Doesn't matter. In a few days, we will make you all right. It is fine. So I will give you some purgatives and don't eat anything solid for 3-4 days. And you see, make sure that you drink lot of water and take this purgative and give a very strong purgative to the fellow. And for 3-4 days. And then he told one of his assistants arranged to put a tiny snake, dead snake, in that lavatory bowl there. It came out, the snake came out, you see. The snake came out. So now you will feel better. Excellent. So no snake ever went in, no snake ever came out, but this all spiritual practice, you know. Really there is no bondage and no liberation too. But do we know that we are free? Every moment the situation is telling you are bound. And we know that. We read in the book, fine. Yes, sarvam khalumidam brahma, I am atma brahma, I am the all-pervading self. Do you know you are that? The next moment you know, I am this tiny body, my wife scolds me and then I feel so sad. Where is that all-pervading Brahman now? Do you mean the all-pervading Brahman has a wife that scolds? It is. So that feeling doesn't last. It is because the knowledge actually hasn't seeped in. It is only just some reading. Sri Ramakrishna used to give the example that the small children, they hear their grammy or aunts saying certain things and prattle that. So, even a two-year-old says, I have not seen such a thing in my whole life. It is. A two-year-old also says the same thing, as if he is about 80-year-old. Because he hears his 80-year-old Grammy saying some such thing, and says, it is, I have not seen such a thing in my whole life. I cannot even pronounce it correctly, but says that. So we also are saying, I am Brahman is like that prattle, you know. It is all my karma. So this child also says the same thing. It's all my karma. What does the fellow understand? Nothing. But sees that my grandmother or my grandfather says like that, hitting hand on the foot, it's all my karma. So this fellow also does my karma. Understands nothing of it. But that is how we say I am Brahman and so forth. It has to become the practical realization, the tangible experience, and for that a disciplined, doggedly continued for a long time a spiritual practice has to be undertaken, and that involves a transformation of the way and the attitude with which we do our work. Work has to be done. There is absolutely no escape. We have to take up work for various reasons which have already been told, and some will be told now also. So Lord says, therefore Arjuna, both lead to the goal, no doubt. And giving up the action as well as doing the action in the right spirit. Karma yoga as well as giving up karma sannyasa. Nishreyasa karav means bring the highest good, that is nishreyas. That shreya means good, nishreyasa means the highest good. Both lead to the highest good. But tayoho means of these two that you have been asking, karma yoga is superior, is better. Actually, although in the translation it is written, it is better. The Sanskrit word that Lord uses is vishishyate, is special. The connotation, there is a fine, important connotation there. Vishishyate, it is specially suitable for you. It is intended for you. You need to go through this path of action. Then it will culminate in the awakening of wisdom. And then, yes, now the plane has landed at the destination. Now come out of it. Not in the middle when it is flying, don't try to come out of it. Or don't try to say that I want, what is the need of embarking anyway. That is, then he tells that what is now the idea is bringing this truth home. The teachership is very important here. You know, how the truth is to be gradually given to the disciple according to the constitution of the disciple very slowly. It is very important. Slow means, what I mean is, without disturbing the understanding capability of the student. Otherwise it will just be make no sense at all. Sometimes a big answer one tries to give. I told you once that story that a professor was asked by his small son that was looking at the ceiling fan in the summer that was running. Oh, Dad, how the fan moves? Then the dad was a professor of engineering something, felt very happy. Oh, my son is a prodigy right now, you know, has that interest in all these technical things. So he immediately took the paper and started drawing those figures and saying this is the magnetic couple and electric couple and all those, you know, for words. And after giving a good lecture for about 10 minutes, by that time the child already had lost all interest. And well, now do you understand how the fan moves? Yes, Dad, because of the wind the fan moves, he gives the answer there. So that is how the understanding comes then. So if you do not understand how the understanding capacity, the way one can appreciate that, you will not be able to teach anything. And Lord, the great teacher, sees that Arjuna, although needs to do this karma yoga, has a psychological inhibition against it. Doesn't want to do. Like, you know, my mom used to, she knew that I need to study, but I don't like to study. And then what to do now? I like to play. So, okay, she would say that, we will play, but first you have to complete this study. Then only play is okay. Okay, do a little bit. First do a little bit. And psychologically the things are to be told, you know, if you tell in a way that, hey, you have to do it, otherwise, then that rebellious tendency would come again, so I may not do, and it is, so that is important. One of the Swamis in Nagpur, he had a fracture, and so, that orthopedic surgeon performed this surgery, put it in the plaster and all that, and told the Swami, you keep he asked how long it has to remain in plaster and how long I should not be moving much. He said, 3 weeks. Then I was there afterwards, I asked the doctor, normally it requires 6 or 7 weeks, why did you tell him 3 weeks? He said, I know this Swami, you know, that had I told him 6 weeks now, he would have become very morose. So, therefore I told him 3 weeks. I didn't say that after 3 weeks we will take it out. After 3 weeks when he comes again, I will tell him just another 3 weeks. So that will reduce the pain of it, you see. That is the day. Otherwise he will feel, why did you put it? No, take out, not necessary, and he will start crying about it. So, so psychology is very important in teaching. How that very nice Zen story is there, that in Zen they tell, look, you must be ready to, without compromising, make a show of compromise. The monkeys were there and their owner, he used to give them food, all that. And he told the monkeys that, well, I will give you 3 bushels of peas in the morning and 2 in the evening. And monkeys became terribly upset. No, it will not do. Okay, friends, I agree, you know, it should, it's okay, I will go by what you say, let us do it like this, I'll give you 2 bushels in the morning and 3 in the evening. And they were all happy, you see, nothing changed, without any, but at the readiness, you know, that okay, I am ready to listen to you, that gives a consoling feeling. That, yes, I am ready to listen to you. Okay, as you say. Here, Lord Krishna also is giving advice in this manner. that you want to do the renunciation, is it not? Okay, I will tell you how to do the renunciation. One of our Swamis told a nice story of a mathematics class that sometimes in the class, it was a high school class, senior class in the high school, and then the students sometimes don't want to study, just want to relax, they want a vacation out. So the teacher, when he entered the class, that math class, the students said, some students, and they had already contrived in their themselves, we will get an off today from the teacher. And say, oh, it is not good today to study, it is all so many problems, well, today let it be, we'll go away today. The teacher said that, see, okay, I understand you don't want to do any study today. We will not study, we will just have some chit-chat. What about that? Stories, you know. I will tell you, in India there is that sport of cricket is very popular. Everybody likes to play and think of that cricket. And like here, baseball, you know, American, that baseball-like game. So he said, you know, cricket, we will talk about cricket. So then he started saying, you like, you know, but you know, you do you know how you should be throwing the ball so that it attains the proper distance? You have to get to that point. The proper distance has to be attained. You throw it in such a way that if you otherwise you will throw, it will go great height, but it will not make the distance. It has to go to the point there. So how would you be throwing? And students never really understood when the teacher turned to the board and started drawing figures and started writing equations that, look, this is a parabola like this and all that. And the teaching was done. The class was done. And that Swami used to tell this incident, you know, that, look, he didn't want to succumb to the pressure of the students. He wanted to teach them. And yet, he didn't want to make them rebellious. So, he said, okay, come on, we will today have a nice chat on cricket. And they were very happy, that's a chat on sports. So, and then, when he turned, we don't know, and it was all done. The teaching was done. In our training center, we used to have a Sanskrit teacher, Swami Bhavaganananda Ji. Yeah. So he had a very funny technique of teaching. We used to feel that we are not learning anything actually. But he had his own methods. He would come to the class first of all 2-3 minutes late. Then do with his head down, spend time in praying, you know, for another 3-5 minutes or so. And then he would finish the class a few minutes early. In between also he would tell a few stories here, there, in a nice way. So sometimes I used to feel, just, are we wasting time here? What is this? Nothing is being studied, just a little bit. We could do much more. But unconscious to us, at the end of the year we found that we have learned lot of Sanskrit without really feeling the strain of it. So that is the greatness of the teacher, that teaching without making the student feel terrible strain of it. So Arjuna is told here, okay, you want to become a monk, you know, that giving up that actions and all, that is true. But they know that the one who works without desires, that is the real sannyasi, that is the real renunciate. We will discuss this verse in details in coming Friday's class, Today I will just read the meaning. You can think of it. Then next Friday we shall take it up in greater details. Neyasya nitya sanyasi yo na dveshti na kaṅkṣati nirdvandvo hi mahābāho sukham bandhāt pramuchyate. He who neither dislikes nor desires should be known as a perpetual renouncer of action. For, O mighty armed one, one who is free from the dual throng is easily freed from the bondage. So, gradually he is telling, so doing the action without attachment and aversion, that is like being real renunciate. And nitya, he uses a very strong word there. This person is always a renunciate. So, then he will condemn that renunciation which is just not doing the actions and all that. We will see that by His grace next Friday. Any questions? Yes. Oh, it has a similar, yes. Actually, that is why this has a different context. The third chapter, these techniques of Karma Yoga and all were yet to be explained. Here, after explaining that now Lord Himself has glorified the renunciation of action, there it was not told. Arjuna was there told the state how one reaches perfection, but it was not told about the renunciation of action. So there the question has been asked on a different background. And there Arjuna's question is also therefore more elaborate. Arjuna says there that you are putting me in confusion. By making these statements, there Arjuna's idea was like this, that you are telling the path of knowledge to be very good for liberation, and you are telling that these actions, they cause bondage. So, while praising the path of renunciation, to me, to your dear disciple, your friend, dear disciple who is seeking advice from you, you are telling to do all those horrible works. Why is it so? There it is like this. Suppose you go to a physician and the physician tells you, and this is the good medication, this will cure you. And this is the poison. If you take this, you will die. I tell you to take this poison. What will you think of that physician? So Arjuna's idea there is like that, that in the third chapter, there is a sense of accusation also. Here he doesn't say like that. He understands much better these things here, but feels that still I can renounce, isn't it? Why should I go through all this drudgery? Just let me renounce. Now I have understood both these things. So, but just let me make doubly sure. So, he is asking the question. That is the background. Therefore, what you ask, this is a question that is asked by many. In fact, Shankaracharya himself, in the beginning of this chapter, takes up this issue. That why this question crops up again, even though in the third chapter a similar question had been put by Arjuna. So in fact his opponent says that this question is not necessary there. But Shankara says, not from your view. That means you are just interested in academics. But here is a spiritual aspirant. From the point of view of spiritual aspirant, the question is still very real, very important, and that is why it needs to be dealt. So that is why this question is asked here. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinistrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantraha Tasya Namani Yani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Sri Krishna Arpanamastu.